And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Well, Donna's getting Greg Palestine. She's still trying to hook up with him. We'll get him on. While she's doing that, I wanted to show you something that was really popular on the front page of Freedom's Phoenix today. KGB agent, how to brainwash and control a nation. And I just got, it's 8 minutes, and I got 5 minutes into it. I'm like, damn, you know, this is, and it was G. Edward Griffin. Now, this is 1985. A KGB defector came in. He goes, let me tell you how you brainwash a nation. Let me tell you what's been going on. This is what, you know, is happening. And I think we should watch this because I did not know. Well, I mean, nothing surprised me, but here we go. Think mind control and social conditioning is just some grand conspiracy theory? The following interview was conducted back in 1985 with a trained subversive KGB agent, Yuri Bezmenov. He says, out of the four steps used to transform the thinking and behavior of an entire population over generations.
Our conversation is with Mr. Yuri Alexandrovich Bezmenov. Mr. Bezmenov was born in 1939 in a suburb of Moscow. He was the son of a high-ranking Soviet Army officer. He was educated in the elite schools inside the Soviet Union and became an expert in Indian culture and Indian languages. He had an outstanding career with Novosti, which was the, and still is, I should say, the press arm or the press agency of the Soviet Union. It turns out that this is also a front for the KGB. He escaped to the West in 1970 after becoming totally disgusted with the Soviet system, and he did this at great risk to his life. He certainly is one of the world's outstanding experts on the subject of Soviet propaganda and disinformation and active measures. When the Soviets use the phrase ideological subversion, what do they mean by it?
Ideological subversion is the process which is legitimate, overt, and open. You can see it with your own eyes. All you have to do, all American mass media has to do, is to unplug their bananas from their ears, open up their eyes, and they can see it. There is no mystery. There is nothing to do with espionage. I know that espionage intelligence gathering looks more romantic. It sells more deodorants through the advertising, probably. That's why your Hollywood producers are so crazy about James Bond type of thrillers. But in reality, the main emphasis of the KGB is not in the area of intelligence at all. According to my opinion and opinion of many defectors of my caliber, only about 15% of time, money, and manpower is spent on espionage as such. The other 85% is a slow process which we call either ideological subversion or active measures, активные мероприятия in the language of the KGB, or psychological warfare. What it basically means is to change the perception of reality of every American to such an extent that despite of the abundance of information, no one is able to come to sensible conclusions in the interests of defending themselves, their families, their community, and their country. It's a great brainwashing process which goes very slow, and it's divided in four basic stages. The first one being demoralization. It takes from 15 to 20 years to demoralize a nation. Why that many years? Because this is the minimum number of years which requires to educate one generation of students in the country of your enemy. exposed to the ideology of the enemy. In other words, Marxism-Leninism ideology is being pumped into the soft heads of at least three generations of American students without being challenged or counterbalanced by the basic values of Americanism, American patriotism. The demoralization process in the United States is basically completed already. For the last 25 years, actually it's overfulfilled because demoralization now reaches such areas where previously not even Comrade Andropov and all his experts would even dream of such a tremendous success. Most of it is done by Americans to Americans, thanks to lack of moral standards. As I mentioned before, exposure to true information does not matter anymore. A person who was demoralized is unable to assess true information. The facts tell nothing to him. Even if I shower him with information, with authentic proof, with documents, with pictures, even if I take him by force to the Soviet Union and show him concentration camp, he will refuse to believe it until he is going to receive a kick in his fat bottom. When a military boot crashes his, then he will understand, but not before that. That's the tragic of the situation of demoralization. So the next stage is destabilization. This time, subverter does not care about your ideas and the patterns of your consumption. Whether you eat junk food and get fat and flabby, doesn't matter anymore. This time, and it takes only from 2 to 5 years to destabilize a nation, it's what matters is essentials: economy, foreign relations, defense systems. And you can see it quite clearly that in some areas, in such sensitive areas as defense, and economy, the influence of Marxist-Leninist ideas in the United States is absolutely fantastic. I could never believe it 14 years ago when I landed in this part of the world that the process will go that fast. The next stage, of course, is crisis. It may take only up to 6 weeks to bring a country to the verge of crisis. You can see it in Central America now. And after crisis, with a violent change of power, structure, and economy, you have so-called the period of normalization. It may last indefinitely. Normalization is a cynical expression borrowed from Soviet propaganda. When the Soviet tanks moved into Czechoslovakia in 68, Comrade Brezhnev said, "Now the situation in brotherly Czechoslovakia is normalized." This is what will happen in the United States if you allow all these schmucks to bring the country to crisis, to promise people all kind of goodies and the paradise on earth, to destabilize your economy, to eliminate the principle of free market competition, and to put a big brother government in Washington, D.C., with benevolent dictators like Walter Mondale, who will promise lots of things, never mind whether the promises are fulfillable or not. Your leftists in the United States, all these professors and all these beautiful civil rights defenders, they are instrumental in the process of the subversion only to destabilize the nation. When their job is completed, they are not needed anymore. They know too much. Some of them, when they get disillusioned, when they see that Marxist-Lenin has come to power, obviously they get offended. They think that they will come to power. That will never happen, of course. They will be lined up against the wall and shot. But they may turn into the most bitter enemies of Marxist-Leninists when they come to power. And that's what happened in Nicaragua. You remember most of these former Marxist-Leninists were either put to prison or one of them split, and now he's working against Sandinistas. It happened in Grenada when Maurice Bishop was already a Marxist. He was executed by a new Marxist who was more Marxist than this Marxist. Same happened in Afghanistan when first there was Taraki, he was killed by Amin, then Amin was killed by Babrak Karmal with the help of KGB. Same happened in Bangladesh when Mujibur Rahman, very pro-Soviet leftist, was assassinated by his own Marxist-Leninist military comrades. It's the same pattern everywhere. It's divided in four basic stages: demoralization, destabilization, crisis, normalization.
Yeah.
They will be lined up against the wall and shot, wall and shot, wall and shot.
Yeah.
with Silver Alliance Realty in Phoenix, Arizona, and I specialize in helping you find the real estate that fits your needs. Whether you are looking to purchase a home or a piece of land, whether it's in town or a rural setting, I can help you find exactly what you are looking for. Most of us are aware of the turbulent times ahead and will need to settle in a place that will suit our particular desires, not only to protect our families, but to thrive in the coming downturn of the economy. Unfortunately, that time is not in the future, but it is upon us, and if you are going to get ahead of the game, now is the time to prepare. Qualifying options for new loans are narrowing, the dollar is being devalued every day, and living expenses are on the rise. So I have created a useful tool on my webpage at DonnaHancock.com that will allow you to search for properties at your leisure that are of interest to you. Simply click on the Search MLS tab at the top of my webpage to begin your search today. Start preparing for your future, and when you are ready to move forward with your home or land buying purchase, we can work together to get you and your family ready to flourish. Feel free to call or text me at 602-828-1819. That's 602-828-1819. And let's get started today.
In Survivor Max 2, School Bites, Maximus scavenges through a wasteland swarming with the undead. Desperate to find the medicine he needs, he discovers a community of survivors at his former school. Has he finally found the safe haven he's been looking for, or will he discover that school bites? Look for Survivor Max on Facebook, read reviews on Amazon, and read Chapter 1 at SurvivorMax.com.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
You cannot subvert an enemy which doesn't want to be subverted. If you know the history of Japan, for example.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. We're just being funky. All right, enough funk. This is Donna's still trying to get Palestine. I guess we'll reschedule because I really wanted to have a full conversation with him. We had confirmation Friday, so I don't know what happened. He's got a lot of times it's a time thing. They just get the time wrong because of the time, but changes from everywhere. So we'll get Palestine, Greg Palast, you know, on billionaires and ballot bandits. Well, you know. Do we really need to have him confirm what we already know? And the next hour, we have Michael Fielding on. We'll go ahead and get that. We can go over some of the news here. It's just, wow. You know, you take the weekend off and you kind of, I check the site and we put up some stuff and I send things to be put up. And I tell you, the one thing about Freedom's Phoenix is the graphic. You know, a lot of the staff, they're really good about this graphic thing. They just get the right graphic. You know, sometimes not, and I do something else. Excuse me. I do something else, but I'm like, they do a really good job, you know, and just kind of giving the, I just called BS on it. Are we all cynical? Have we become that way? What we did in the last segment is we played J. Edward Griffin in 85. He's been around a long time. I mean, he knows. And he wrote the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, so he knows. And he had a KGB agent on that had defected to the U.S., and he was part of the propaganda in India, you know, English-speaking country that he learned about Indian politics and language, and the Soviet Union had him as an agent there, and they were in media because he goes, the first of the four steps to that we go through in propagandizing the West is the first thing is demoralization. It's just cause you to question your own heritage and stuff, and you really pump Marxist-Leninism into the mindset of the Bernie Sanders promises. You know, it's a multi-generational process. They go, the reason we need 15 to 30 years for that, and that was means that they started in the 50s. This is 85. And he goes, they've gotten way further than I ever anticipated. I am amazed at how far this has gone. And he goes, it's very effective. You just promise them the sun, the wind, the moon, the stars. And once they get, you know, Bernie-ized, you know, Bernie Sanders is a perfect example of this, you know, and the Clintons before. So he goes, once they get that in their head, You can't take it out. No, the utopian promise. They promised me, damn it. And then he goes, and it goes through different stages, but eventually you'll have the takeover. And all the people that were advocating for it, the politicians, the professors, the media, well, of course they're advocating for it because they believe they're going to be the ones that rule. And then they're taken out and shot by the more extreme Marxist-Leninists that, you know, say, no, and we're the real truth, and you're just a usurper, kind of, you tried and didn't, kind of banging their competition. He goes, it always happens. And he goes through all these examples and what they were doing in developing countries in Central America, South America, Asian. And he goes, look, this is what happened here. This is what happened here. This is what happened here. You had the more radicalized guys that come in and going to fulfill the promise. And then they just kill their competition. And it gets really bad. Where are we at on this? It just keeps ratcheting. And there has to be a break free. And I, the election process, I'm seeing that I can't allow on the show to go to the audience that there's any legitimate choice. You don't have a choice. You may choose from communist candidate A or fascist candidate B. This is, you know, but it's going to be we rule you in one form or another. And any promises made by anybody else is just a distraction. It's part of the machine, you know, regardless of who the candidate is. We have Gary Johnson, you know, saying, look, it's over. If I don't get in the debates, I have no chance of being president. It's over. It's done. You know, I waste my time. It's kind of done. The whole thing, this Weld thing, Bill Weld, the Council on Foreign Relations guy coming in, and we capitulation on, you know, a mandatory vaccinations. Yeah. Some could be mandatory. Yeah, we're going to have the IRS, which is going to do a different kind of tax. Yeah. We're going to have tax. Yeah, we're going to, you know, I kind of, well, libertarians say this about that. What say you? Not that. Well, libertarians on foreign policy say this. What say you? Not that. Well, libertarians say this about education. What say you? Not that. Well, the libertarian position on medical treatment and licensing and this and that and the economy and blah, 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 is this. What say you? Not that. So we have the bumper sticker, yes, I'm that libertarian. Gary Johnson, no, I'm not that libertarian. So I'm going, wow. Is this a shock to anybody? Yeah, to a lot of people it is. They come and they go, yeah, but they said, and they're like on TV. Going, that's when it's under the bright lights of the media is when they lie to you the most. I remember guys going to the Tampa GOP convention in 12. No, they wouldn't screw us on international television. I go, hell, that's when they do it. In the first hour, let me see if Donna put it up. You know, I asked her to put up Davi's authoritarian sociopathy. It really just was like a dovetail into, you know, what I had written. Oh, you put the whole thing up on there. Okay. Guess you can do that. So the one thing, the Legitimacy of Government by Ernest Hancock from 1994. This is written at the same time that, you know, well, I was at the same age as Davi. And it just, there's, and take in and stay, instead of saying Mark Fuller, just kind of take out, just put, you know, Mark, you know, F dot. There's no reason to, you know, make fun of him. He was a nice guy that, you know, Constitution this and Constitution that and so on. And it was an email exchange. And it for some reason, this came to the attention of a guy named Frederick Mann that had MindTrek.com. It was early, you know, early web pages. I mean, the earliest kind of online. He was digitizing a lot. And a lot of people had a lot of respect for him and known him as a newsletter writer or something. He was like a big deal, like the Lou Rockwell of the day back in the day. And I didn't know who he was. I had no, he just called me and he said, hey, do you mind if I, that exchange you had, can I use that? Yeah, whatever, you know, change the grammar and spelling and make me sound smart, you know, because I just, you know, just email, just pounding out. Might as well, hell, probably look like somebody's text now, you know, but I just, you know, slam it out. That's one thing. I got it. You know, man, I'm not that, you know, I don't have an English degree, but that never stopped me, you know, from even publishing. you know, being a publisher of a news, I care. I'm going, yeah, there's some perspective out here needs to be. I'm not going to let that stop me. That's what, word check, spell checkers for. But this argument, you got time to read both of these articles by Davi and myself. You can see 20-something years apart, it was the same mindset, and they dovetailed.
If you enjoy LRN.FM, please contribute to your favorite shows via their websites and become an amplifier at amp.lrn.fm. That's amp.lrn.fm.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Okay, what I'm going to go ahead and do, since we couldn't get Greg Palestine, there's a documentary that he has coming out, and there is a video that he has as a teaser for this documentary. So we'll go ahead and watch that, and I'll go ahead and give you an idea of what we have coming up. So I'm sorry that we couldn't get him on. I apologize for that, but we'll go ahead and make sure you get kind of a dose of what we're going to be talking about. Let me go ahead and pull this up, and I will play the video. It's only less than 2 minutes.
They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists, and some, I assume, are good people.
Why are these such secret lists?
The most important investigative journalist.
Over 1 million people that voted twice in this election.
You vote twice.
Really?
You get 5 years in the slammer.
This is voter suppression, pure and simple.
Palace exposes the latest heist, the theft of the 2016
allow
election.
And approve the Keystone Pipeline.
This is destruction in progress.
And the billionaire's bankrolling the steal.
Paulson made a personal profit of more than $5 billion last year.
Paulson sat in those rooms and didn't tell those poor schmucks that they were buying crap.
And they are cooking the ballot boxes on Election Day.
That's not about black and white. That's about right and wrong.
And you would think that Jim Crow rose from the dead.
Mm-hmm. Now, Palestine, he's from the left. But he definitely doesn't like this taking over democracy thing. The best democracy money can buy.
Oh, wait, what are you grinning for? Are you high? Are you smoking something?
Aren't you?
Willie Nelson. Support the investigation. So this is GregPalace.com for him to do this this film, this docu, this mockumentary, whatever you want to call it. He was he really wants to promote it. I'm sorry he didn't come on. We'll get him on. We'll get taken care of. I'm sure it was a time thing. What we'll go ahead and do is how much should I focus on election fraud? I mean, should I avoid it? I mean, I know better from so many times. After a while, you just know they're going to lie to me. No, we pinky swear we're not going to lie to you this time. And I go, well, you're a liar. So why would I believe you? Yeah, but shiny tie, different person, younger, more cleavage, longer legs. And they said, and I'm like, right. So I'm just, do I got to do that with the audience? I mean, what am I supposed to do? I try and give you, I could sit there and tell you all the stories. Is that what I need to do? Or are you just kind of, I'm good to get it next? So I go to Top Tech News. So let me just do some Top Tech News. I choose to do Top Tech News. You go to freedomsphoenix.com on the left side. I have Top Tech News. Of all the articles I had them create for me that I could just push a button, and it goes to the left side, anything that's tech, and I want to make sure that they can see what's going on. I go, all right, well, we have like the Canadian designer that is using drones to carry shipping containers. All right. I think they need airships to do it, but whatever. He's got the power, put the thrusters on, it's Serenity. You know, it's the, you know, ship from Firefly. You know, a Firefly class, we're just going to, you know, they might as well just put a ship container in there. I mean, that's what, you can whiz that around, cool. Get a couple of ship containers in the bay. That may be what the future is. You get the propulsion thing going down, man. You know, it's all about propulsion. You know, it's energy, power. All right. Is Earth being contacted by aliens? All right, well, let me go ahead and get you the story on this. You know, get you all excited. These signals seem to be coming from a sun-like star known as HD 164595. The star is 95 light years. I guess that's the last numbers, how far away it is. Ha. The star is 95 light years away and may have undiscovered planets in orbit. Scientists say signals may simply be the result of a natural phenomenon. One possibility is microlensing, in which the star's gravity forces signals coming from farther away, focuses signals coming from farther away. A spike in radio signals coming from the direction of a sun-like star has excited astronomers. The signals seem to be originating from a sun-like star known as blah, 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 in the constellation Hercules, around 95 light-years away. Scientists suggest they are likely to be the result of a natural phenomenon such as microlensing, in which, you know, but you never know. So they're getting, say, I remember when they first, when I was a kid, it was pulsars. You know, beep, beep, beep. It was a steady beat, and it was a spinning pulsar, and they have quasars, all these different phenomena, you know, creating a steady beat of the, what the heck is that? Well, a pulsar, it's kind of like a spinning star that has a beam. It's kind of like a lighthouse, you know, at a steady stream or something like that. And I remember when those were first there, I go, whoa, we got, could it be something like that? Or could that be communication? And they say it's something like that. How the hell would you know? You know, well, well, then enough people get out and access and they're interested and they go, yeah, okay, maybe it's probably a natural phenomenon. All right. Say one phenomenon, you know, Bitcoin is up to 573. It's going to start getting up around 600 again, and silver's down in the 18s. It was as low as 1830, 40 or something like that over the weekend. I'm like, wow, you know, man, there's some weird stuff going on.
Weird,
you know, weird. Okay, the next one we have on there was five supersized drones you can ride. Now these are. Oh, what do they call them? They're like, you know, I'll put this up on the screen so you guys can watch this. This is like, what do they call those bike speeder things in Star Wars? You know, there was a, what do they call those? Yeah, whatever it was. And so you go to, now, what will, I'll just have this video playing in the back so that you guys can see it, because I think it's kind of cool. There are many different kinds of personal drones now. What they're doing is they're having the ability for you to, you know, just call robot drones to deliver your chubby butt. Go up to, I think they said 100 kilos, which is probably like 220-pound guy or something like that. So you have all these different, we'll just keep the sound down, and I'll let you guys go and watch this full screen. Skip this ad in 1 second. Boom. All right. So you guys can watch this. There's a lot of different ones that people just want the ability to just fly around. They start off with little RC models. They, you know, get it to where it gets stabilized and everything. But I tell you the problem, when they're checking these, a lot of these, they have these open, it's like they're inside the middle of a Cuisinart. And I'm like, hell no, you first, man. You know, you, no. So, but they're here. And if you got enough money, you got enough resources, you can get one. The answer is always yes. It's just how much. There are some others that are even more practical, I think, than these. But we're getting there. Now, here's five drones that you can ride. Okay. I put in the top tech, that KGB agent, how to brainwash and control a whole nation, because I'm kind of, that's a tech thing. You know, I wanted to give it some more props, so I put it up there. School yourself. Six apps to get students and families through the academic year. Now, this was a story on, you know, one of the ones I thought was kind of cool, you can have a problem on a written page or write it out, and it does character recognition. It sees the formula, and it goes through just like you're doing algebra, and it walks through the solving process of the problem. You know, it just recognizes the text, and it goes, okay, and the next stage is this, and the next is that, and problem solved. Now go, well, that's cheating. Is it? It's a tool. You cheat yourself. I mean, you don't learn it, if you're just doing it for the test or the score. But what if you're homeschooled? What if mom and dad needs help? What if you're doing, I'm going, man, just the information to be able to do this stuff for me. I'm into that. Here's one. Behold the world's largest battery. In Alaska, they have enormous warehouses of just batteries that see them through the nighttime. I don't know why they're using this, but it works.
You can put the Liberty Radio Network on the air in your area. Visit broadcast.lrn.fm to learn how. Broadcast.lrn.fm.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
And we're back. I need to, get the music. I had some other play in this video on them talking about the drones.
Still be able to fly. Being electric, it's also emissions free, and it also requires much less maintenance than a traditional.
Yeah, tank. This is going to be co. There is so much. One thing we were talking about, we depict a lot of futuristic landscapes, skylines and so on in our newspaper and magazine covers. We have probably over 40, and they're just, very inspiring because it's just stuff that we imagined as young people. And the one thing that you'll see is high-rises that are, mostly we kind of out in the open, and you'll leave me alone zone kind of thing. But if we do cities, we're going, you can make cool cities, Well, one of the things that they did, we did in the cities, was you can have drones. I'm going to go over some of the top tech news here, but you have a high-rise that you're, have a living room that's kind of like a vertical and horizontal elevator that goes outside. Instead of a big glass there, you walk out into this elevator that it has a glass. So it's like a movable room. It goes from your off your living room. It's like your patio. Go to off to your bedroom, and it'll go down and over to a friend's house, and you go visit. Hey, well, I'm going to bring my... And on top, I got, a barbecue, or it's my drone landing pad. So you just go from this room that... is sitting out, attached to the outside of the apartment building. You just go up the stairs and your drone landed on top of that, and that's where your drone is. They're designing high-rise buildings that way now. I'm going, really? Okay, there's a video playing now that the airboard, him flying like Dick Tracy. If you haven't seen this thing is the crap. And what it is a jet engine, like a little cruise missile engine that he stands on, his backpack is the fuel. And he just pulls the trigger and remote and the platform out flying. This is real. I'm like, I'll let that play because that's co. All right. Let's go ahead and go over some of the stories here. Behold the world's largest battery. Now, let's talk about this. Like the rest of the interior of Alaska, Fairbanks, a region of nearly 100,000, is separated from the power grid of the contiguous U.S. and Canada. So it's got like its own, microgrid. Electricity is produced locally and regionally from coal and oil-fired power plants, and power outages within the remote microgrid are frequent. In Fairbanks, it's winter more than it's not, and the snow is always causing problems. So this weekend, the city celebrated the anniversary of a battery on August 27, 2003. So this is what, 13 years? The Golden Valley Electric Association, GVEA, the cooperative that provides power to the Fairbanks area, powered up BESS, a.k.a. the Battery Energy Storage System, larger than a football field and weighing 1,500 tons, BESS exists to ensure continuity of electrical service. If the supply of electricity coming in from relatively distant coal plants to the south is interrupted, BESS kicks in until local power plants can be put online. So all it is one big giant battery. And it's just a big giant battery to make sure that Fairbanks, has enough power to get them through whatever outage. Okay, well, that's kind of cool. Then we have the future of war looks like Hollywood. For those who always saw James Cameron's blockbuster Terminator 2 as somehow eerily inevitable, recent trends in the development of warfare are proving them correct. Well, military robots and hilarity ensues. Yeah, so we got that to look forward to. Now, there was one, this has been a problem. My boys played football. I played football. They probably, you know, they played a lot of football. And I, you know, I've seen the head bang. And I remember getting my bell rung more than once. And I'm going, eh. So, but you look at woodpeckers and they're just sitting there banging their head. I've seen woodpeckers. They go to town on my eaves. How the heck do they get away with this? What is the shock absorbing? How do they, what? You know, it's their head or their brain. And what's the mechanism? Well, this guy, his kid came up with a concept of a helmet that's attached to the shoulder pads with these little shock absorbers. And it's like a futuristic, I've seen, you know, robots designed in cartoons like this or something. I'm going, you know, heck, you know, a lot of the sci-fi movies will have something like, might have been inspired by that. And he came up with it, hey, do it like this. And they're going, they may have to. Created a helmet and shoulder pad system with an integrated Arduino microcontroller connected to sensors in the helmet that stabilize the head upon impact. When the sensors detect an impact above a certain threshold, the stabilizers lock the helmet in place to keep the athlete's head and brain from being jarred back and forth. So, and the impact is transferred also to the shoulder pads. You know, so I'm going, wow. So you can move your head around until there's a high impact. And an Arduino microprocessor get the G-forces and boom, locks it in and transfers the impact to the shoulder pads. And I'm going, oh, that's cool. Scientists want to recreate faces of criminals from crime scene DNA. You knew that was coming. Scientists have identified the genes that shape facial features, including nose size and face width. According to a new report, the faces of murderers or rapists could be recreated from DNA left at the scene of the crime. And I'm sure that that will only be used for non-nefarious reasons. They have Facebook's giant internet beaming drone finally takes flight. Now, they have a video of this, and it's just a big, long wing with four electric engines, and they'll put more batteries and solar panels on and so on, and they just, you know, wanted to show that it could be done. They're up, and there it goes. You put solar panels on the wings, batteries to keep it overnight, which they had, was it Solar Pulse that went around the world? You know, it was a solar plane doing this very thing, flying at night and so on. You know, I mean, it landed, it took stages, but it could fly at night. So now they have these drones that can go, and they're big. I mean, they're probably, I don't know, 80-foot wide wingspan or something, or a 737, I think they said, or size of. But they go up, and they just stay over a town, a city, you know, Central America. It's like having your own U2. You know, just their surveillance. Well, no, it's not surveillance. It's just for giving you Wi-Fi. You know, don't you want to get connected to Facebook? So this is, are they going to give internet, or are they just Facebook? I'm sure it'd be just Facebook. Okay, then we have, you know, Jurassic Park. Here we go. We could bring the woolly mammoth back to life, but should we? But while scientists in the movie were so preoccupied with whether or not they could, they didn't stop to think if they should. Real-world scientists are now considering the latter. With various de-extinction projects in the works right now, researchers at University of California, Santa Barbara have published a paper analyzing the ecological benefits, risks, and responsibilities of reintroducing one extinct species into modern ecosystems. Bringing back a creature as huge as the woolly mammoth, which hasn't walked the earth in over 4,000 years, is, well, a mammoth undertaking. Well-preserved remains are relatively common in the Siberian permafrost, but the cells are usually too degraded to be very useful, a stumbling block that tripped up previous attempts. Or previous attempts? Well, what'd they do in Jurassic Park? Well, they just kind of filled it in with frog DNA. You know, so they're getting ready to start cloning extinct animals. Woolly mammoth. You know, who wants to have their logo tattooed on the side of that? And we'll see. World's blackest material is now world's blackest spray paint. This stuff is amazing. It's carbon nanotubes that they put into an aerosol or something, and they where you need it to be really black. Like, you know, satellite telescopes, like the Hubble Space Telescope has, you know, the inside of all the exposed innards of where the lens goes and everything has to be dark. So they put this black, black, black. Well, this is way blacker than that. It's amazing. You can paint something this black and you can't make out any features. You got a bust, a face, and it's just this black blob that sits there because there's no light bouncing off. You can't discern, you know, any 3D, you know, shading or anything because it's just black. You go around this, you just be a black blob going around just being black. You know, invisible pedestrian. It's a new Halloween costume. He put this invisible pedestrian. Well, Dobby Barker's up. You know, say good morning, Dobby.
Good morning.
Okay, so what we're going to do in the next hour, we have Michael Felding on, the Sailboat Diaries. You know, that was an interesting presentation I saw in Narcopoco. And he was at Jackalope and got to hang. So we'll see what's up with him, you know, and talk about that. I thought that was very interesting. Also on Top Tech News, how to stream live NFL football games this season. Live, how to stream it. You know, are some of them, are they free? Yeah. The answer is always yes. This is how much effort you want to put in. There's 7 survival skills they should teach in school. You want these 7 survival skills they should teach in school?
Are you one of them drop out of school?
Yeah. Are you a pork scout? You know, you need to know these things. 7's right. Go there. Scientists developed nanopores that inexpensively filter the salt out of seawater.